for being here. Tonight we're going to continue with the thought of black and white. As, 2 weeks ago we spoke about in our last connect, and I reminded us that this gospel is black and white. The concept, and I spoke through the concept of black and white, in that it is clear cut. It is without, or it should be without confusion. I shared that God is not a God of confusion, that he's a God of order. And so if this, if God is a, is not a God of confusion, then this gospel that derives from him is also not a gospel of confusion. This belief that we so much talk about is not and should not be a belief or a gospel of confusion in our lives. It needs to be black or white. It needs to be clear cut in our lives. There are things in this gospel that as that us as believers, we need to know for certain, unequivocally, as some might say. I encouraged you to know that God's desire for us is not to live in these gray spaces of our lives, in these spaces that are usually filled with confusion and doubt and uneasiness, rather to live out lives confident in this gospel that we profess and love, confident in the God of this gospel that we profess and love. And so I shared that one of the black and white things and truths of this gospel is that we would want to be, that if we were to want to be called followers of Christ, then Christ calls us to consistently deny ourselves, which means to no longer live out lives seeking what we desire, but rather seeking his kingdom and his desires and his will. Denying, I shared, did not mean it wasn't void of ambition, of trying to get the best for what we have. That it's not void of that, of self-care, of not wanting good things, but rather it is an intentional and consistent aligning of our desires to his. It's a consistent submission to what God has and wants for our lives. It's a consistent desire to submit our quick, sometimes rash thought, the desires of putting those aside for what he has for us, because he is a good God. And because we need to trust this good God to know that even in the valley moments, he is with us and he has our best in mind. We said that Christ also tells us that if we want to enjoy the promises and the blessings that come with being called a follower of Christ, we must pick up and dominate these things that we battle with, these hardships that we go through. Not allow them to be a barricade or a stumbling block to follow Christ, but to know that we have the power through him to dominate over it and still move forward. We have the ability to, even in our hardship, look up to the hills where cometh our strength. This was his response to a group of followers that asked him what a Christ follower would look like. And he was clear in telling us that we needed to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and continue to consistently follow him. And so tonight I want to quickly speak to you about something else that is black and white in this gospel. A responsibility that we should know is black and white in this gospel. And if you can open up scripture to Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. And it is properly entitled, The Cost of Following Jesus. Because we can preach rainbows and butterflies, but this gospel, a lot of the times, I think we know already in our walk with Christ, is not always rainbows and butterflies. There's moments of hardship, there's moments of waiting, there's moments of pausing, there's moments of doubt, right? There's hard, sobering moments. Because what is black and white about this gospel is that to be a follower of Christ also, there is cost. There is a cost that we need to pay. Christ freely offers salvation and freely offers forgiveness and grace and mercy, but there is an expectation from God to the person he gives these highly important and cherished gifts. Could you imagine a gospel where there was no cost? A gospel where there was no need to work for anything. A gospel that where there wasn't a need for discipline at anything. Could you imagine life in general without cost? How crazy this world would be, the decisions that you and I would make if we knew that there wasn't cost behind them. How many things we have avoided because we have counted the cost. How many circumstances we have avoided because we considered the cost of the action or our actions. You and I, we're here because we're counting and considering the cost of living lives without God. In other words, since we know that life without Christ only leads to condemnation, right? You and I are doing our best to persevere, to move forward in this faith. We're counting the cost of what it would be if we didn't follow Christ. And so that helps us and encourages us to stay focused and move forward. Because cost is essential. Because cost reminds us of commitment. And commitment helps us persevere. It helps us finish what we have started. Cost allows us to know what we're getting into. Cost brings validity. Cost brings perspective. What is black and white of this gospel, in this gospel, is that there is a cost to following Christ. When we consider cost, it brings everything into consideration, into perspective. Cost is what helps us make thought-out decisions, or what should help us make thought-out decisions in our lives. And what the Lord is doing here is because there were many like today that are calling themselves Christians and believers, but yet are lacking a heart and deep commitment to Christ. He has a couple of these encounters in Scripture where he sets the record straight, where he makes it black and white to everyone who is around him, where they ask in these moments where they ask him about what it means to be a follower, and he takes this time to implicitly filter out from within and implicitly filter out from without. From those that are outside, right? Those that were only giving lip service to Christ. Those that only from their lips said that they were followers, yet their heart was far from it. So that there isn't any confusion to the truth that there is a cost of being a disciple of God. He wanted to make sure that if you wanted to be a follower of Christ, you needed to know that there was a cost. And so tonight, that's what we would like to speak to you quickly about, to know that in this walk, what is also black and white is that there is a cost to be called sons and daughters of Christ. We receive it freely, but there are adjustments that we need to make in our lives. There are things that we need to do because of this, because of how we are being identified. So Luke 9, 57 and 62 says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the kingdom of God. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. 61 says, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Lord, I ask that you would be in this place, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts tonight, that you would remind us, oh God, of the responsibility of the cost that is behind this gospel. Lord, that you would remind us that there's certain things that we need to know that are black and white for you and should be for us, God. We know that you are with us and that you will give us the strength to move forward. May your word be preached tonight. Amen and amen. The first person, he says, says to Christ, I will follow you wherever you go. And I think that that's a lot of our response at the beginning. When we find God, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you send me to go. I'll do whatever you send me to go. And then it gets a little harder. And then God, okay, maybe not this. This is not my gifting. That's not really what I do, right? And so things start getting muddy and gray spaces arise, right? But Jesus' response is knowing this response brings to attention and to the table that if anyone would want to follow Christ, we need to know that there will be a cost, right? And he says that the cost that he's bringing to the table is that we need to know that there will be discomfort in this walk. That this walk is not always easy. You and I can attest that there's discomfort, that there has been discomfort in this walk. We need to not and cannot expect comfort at all times. Not that there won't be times of comfort, not that there won't be seasons of comfort, but God, that because this God brings comfort, but we need to know that in this walk with Christ, there is seasons, moments, times of discomfort. Jesus lays out and says, foxes, they have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, he's saying foxes, birds, they find places of comfort. They have places of comfort. They have a secure place to go, a place where they find comfort. But Christ, I don't. Now, we know that Christ could find places of comfort, but he was trying to bring a sobering thought to people that were wanting to be followers of Christ at this moment. Christ had places to sleep and rest, but he was bringing a sobering thought to this fandom that was happening at this time of Christianity, a sobering thought to us today that if we want to follow him, we also have to go through discomfort and times of it as he has. My brother said a couple weeks ago at a YA, if there isn't discomfort, then you're not growing. Because discomfort brings growth. Because discomfort is not always bad. It brings growth. It brings stretching seasons that allow us for more space. Pressure gives birth to courage, and courage gives birth to boldness. What happens when you and I are too comfortable? We don't want to move from a specific place. We don't want to do things. We're good here. It's comfortable. But this gospel, just like the business world, just like practical living, just like exercise, it's not about staying, it's about moving. It's about growing and stretching. It's about progress and not stagnation. You and I, sometimes we need to confess that we are too comfortable with where we are, with what we're saying, with what we're doing. And discomfort makes us move and makes us make adjustments that we need, even by forcing us to do things we don't necessarily want to do. Discomfort also is a way of God prepping us for the more. It makes us ask questions. It makes us think. Discomfort makes us ask, today, am I really following Christ, or am I following my own construction of this gospel? Christ is telling us that if we want to be followers of Christ, he's plainly putting it out there in black and white that we need to know that there will be discomfort in our lives. That in this walk, there will be times of hardship. That in this time, in this walk with Christ, in our growing with Christ, there will be times of discomfort, and we need to expect it, because if we're not prepared for it when it comes, it will knock us right out. Discomfort is black and white in this gospel. The second cost we need to consider is what he references in his response to the next two people. And he says in verse 59, to another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said, leave the dead, bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. The second one says, I will follow you, Lord. But let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The next two interactions could bring a confusion at a glance. Because they respond to Christ with responses that to us, to them and to us, seem very fair responses. But first I want to remind you that when we read scripture and read responses from Christ, we need to remember that his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. And so it might be fine confusion in it, but as we read, we understand that God is on a higher brainwave on a higher frequency than we are. So first, the first one says and gives a fair response. He says, let me bury my father. I want you to notice the word first in their responses. To bring relief to everyone, he isn't saying, don't care for your father or don't care for your family or don't care for your parents or loved ones. Nor is he saying you will not be able to be loving or caring to your family by saying farewell to your friends. But what he is saying is that that cannot be the first thing that we do. It cannot be our priority over Christ. He's laying out the truth that if we want to be followers, we need to have our priorities straight. Christ was laying out that nothing should take precedence over him. Nothing should ever be more important than Christ and the plans that he has for us. And not for once should we think that this gospel is a harsh gospel. Not for once should we think that this Christ that we follow is harsh, a harsh leader to make us think less of our friends or our families or the essentials in our lives. Not for once should we think that God is just disrespectful or inconsiderate of these things. In the gospel, there's a moment during the crucifixion where Christ shows us that he understands our love for the essentials. And he understands the importance of the essentials in our lives. And in the gospel, during the crucifixion, Christ has chosen God first here. Christ has chosen God's will over his life. But because he is 100% human, he struggles with this calling on his life because it wasn't an ideal situation. And how many times have we found ourselves in unideal situations for our lives? In moments where, God, that's not really what I want for my life. That's not really where I see myself right now, God. But Christ is calling us to prioritize him over our feelings, over the things that we call essential, right? But Christ prioritizes here the calling of God over his life, over what might seem essential to him. And he shows us this dynamic of loving God's will and also loving essentials when he looks down and he looks at his mother and he says to his mother, "Mother, here is your son." And then he tells the apostle, "Son, here is your mother." And that shows us that this is not a harsh gospel. That this is not a God that is a harsh God that tells us to forget our families and friends and just follow him. But that he understands the dynamic. And he shows us here, well, I was 100% to the will of God, but I also understand the essentials. And he remembers his mom and he remembers his beloved brother at that moment. So it isn't that Christ is a rigid God, that he disregards the essentials of life, the things that we hold near to our lives, like a father being buried, or like saying farewell to family and friends. It isn't that Christ is saying this thing, but what he is saying in black and white is that we need to keep him first. He needs to be priority in our life. These people's responses were of "but first" shows that even us as followers have a tendency of putting everything else before God. These responses, they were fair responses. They weren't bad responses. They weren't really saying, "God, well, let me go sleep around and then I'll follow you." They weren't saying, "Let me go be an alcoholic and then I'll follow you." They were doing things that you and I could say are fair responses to saying, "God, wait, let me bury my dad first," right? But we need to understand that you and I, we are sinful. Because of the fall of man, our natural lenience without God is towards sin. I mentioned this before with the young adults when we spoke about idols in our lives and seeing things that we thought, because they're not bad, we don't bring attention to them. But sometimes good things take priority over God. We need to check ourselves. Because sometimes these good things, work, family, friends, health, these things, although they're not bad, oftentimes can take priority over Christ. Because they are essentials and they're not necessarily bad things or habits. And then it's okay. But God is saying in black and white, anything that we put before him is not good. Simple stuff like getting in shape, saying, you know, there's four Sundays in a month. Let me go to the gym one Sunday. God will understand. And then that one Sunday turns into, let me go two Sundays because there's four services, four Sundays. And then it turns into three, and then it's hard to come to even one Sunday. Simple stuff like that. Or, you know what, I'm tired. It was a long week. God understands. And then that one I'm tired turns into two I'm tired and three I'm tired. I'm going to stay home with family to spend time together. These are all valid and good reasons, reasons that we would understand, reasons that I would even say God understands and cares for. But what happens is if we don't watch ourselves, we'll make essential, even the essential things, priority over Christ. And then it becomes two out of four Sundays and three out of four Sundays. How many times have we said, not now, God, without saying those actual words? But with our actions, how many times have we put small things and big things before God? How many times have we used our time to do everything under the sun except for working at our relationship with Christ? Christ calls us to listen as he prioritizes us. He calls us to do as he has done for us. Christ, when he went to the cross, he prioritized you and me. And Christ calls us to do the same as he did, to prioritize him just as he did us. But it is, and on a side note, prioritizing him does not mean neglecting ourselves, right? We want to make sure that there's a distinction. It doesn't mean neglecting ourselves and our desires or ambitions. It's just making sure that our priorities are straight. Because we know that small things even can throw us off track. It is exercising our spiritual muscle to go from saying, but first let me take care of the essentials, to but first let me see what God says and what he wants me to do. It is when we prioritize him that we truly understand what it is that we really need for our lives. Christ is saying to us tonight in black and white that we must prioritize him over everything, even the essentials. He tells us in black and white that there will be discomfort in our lives. As I asked the team to come up, he tells us and he reminds us that he encourages us in a sobering way that you and I must prioritize him above the essentials. Above the essentials. You know, Christ makes reference to farming too and this dynamic. Jesus said to close, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. This old farming tool and dynamic is connected to our lives. What happened with the plow back then was that they were wooden. If people needed to push these things, and they needed to keep their hands on this in order for the plow to not go off track. And so if the plow would go off track, what would happen is that it would, because it was so frail, it would break. And so Christ connecting this, he's saying, if we don't keep our hands on the plow, if we don't look forward, if we don't keep our focus on him, it'll be just as a person that is working the grounds, puts his hand on the plow, loses focus, and the plow runs danger of going off track and breaking. You and I know that we are sinful people by nature. You and I know that it is similar to our lives. You and I know that if we don't keep focus on our spiritual plows, on our lives, if we don't keep focus on our walk with God, on our walk with the Lord, if we don't pay attention to this plow and make sure that it is following the path that has been set out for it, if we are not actively and intentionally prioritizing our spiritual walk and relationship with Christ, we will go off track. It will break down. I would dare to say that just from my personal experience, That if I don't keep my mind on Christ, that if I don't keep reading scripture, that if I don't keep praying, that if I don't keep my discipline, just a small space of not keeping priority, just a small space of not keeping my hand on my plow and looking forward will throw me off track. You know how frail we could be. You know where our life takes us when we fall off track with Christ. We know the decisions that we have made when we have turned around and allowed our plow to come off track. What this does is helps us keep a check of ourselves. What prioritizing God does is it helps us keep ourselves in check. And that's what God is really trying to help us do. If and when we prioritize God, we keep ourselves and our flesh in check. And because we're so fragile, God, in His graciousness, tells us the way to do it is to seek Him first. And I'm not going to share the verse because we know what the famous verse is of seeking God first, what it says. What is black and white is that we must prioritize God over everything. We must keep our eyes on the plow. Keep our eyes on the path that He has tracked out for us. You know what it tells me and it shows me about Christ? It shows me how much He loves us. How appreciative are we when someone tells us what's going to happen beforehand? Except for movies and shows, right? Want to know what happens before it happens. But how appreciative we are to know if someone were to tell us, hey man, when you go down through that forest, there's a bear, you know, something silly like that. How appreciative are we when we know something before it happens? Christ is telling us right now, He's showing us right now a main tension in us and a struggle in our lives that we don't know the future. Man, if I knew the future, if I knew the outcome, if God were to tell me the process, if I knew what it would take, if I knew the cost, then I know what type of commitment I would need. Here, God, knowing our frailties, is being gracious enough to tell us. Guys, there is discomfort. There is discomfort of process. There is discomfort of growing. There is discomfort of stretching. We need to prioritize. He's reminding us that we need to prioritize our lives. This is the only way that we can keep our flesh in check. This is the only way that you will be able to enjoy a full and free life. This will help you make less mistakes when we prioritize Christ. Christ in black and white is telling us that there is a cost for this gospel. And I'm almost tired of hearing people living lives and finding themselves in ruts and not making the adjustments that they know they need to do. Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting new outcomes, right? And so Christ is saying, instead of living this mouse wheel, right, in this mouse wheel of life, you can jump out of that by knowing that there will be discomfort and prioritizing me over everything else. Yes, grace and salvation is freely given, but we cannot forget that it came at a cost. A cost that you and I could not pay. A cost that you and I still today cannot pay, but was paid for us. It was freely given, but we need to live lives worthy of this call, worthy of being called followers of Christ. What is black and white is that there is a cost. There will be times of discomfort. This walk is not easy. This walk is hard. God tells us there will be discomfort so that you're not surprised when the discomfort comes. Our priority, He tells us, needs to be Him over everything and anything. If you are saying, but first, God, let me do X. But first, let me do X. But first, let me do this. Then tonight, God is challenging you to check yourself. to check priorities in your life, and then to compare the priority scale and see where you are in your life. Am I struggling with X, Y, and Z? But my priorities, they're not right. Right? So maybe I need to change my priorities so that I'm not living in this life. If we don't keep our hands on the plow, if we don't look forward, then it'll, just like the plow in those times, will go off track and it will break. It doesn't have to be big things either. We know that. It's small things. I won't pray today. He understands. It could be small little things. On the plow, it could be a small stone that would throw it off. And so God is bringing this sober thought to say, guys, just keep your eyes on me. As we close, we can rise to our feet as we close. The question tonight is, what do our lives look like? Are we living lives however we like? Are we following a gospel according to ourselves? Tonight, Christ reminds us that we have to continue to make adjustments in our lives. That we need to no longer continue to live how we live and expect differently. God is challenging us for the more by checking ourselves and our priorities and what we think this gospel looks like or feels like, to the black and white, to know that this gospel, there is discomfort, there will be discomfort, and we need to prioritize God above everything. The beautiful thing about this gospel that is also black and white is that we don't have to do it alone. Is that God is for us and not against us. Is that God wants to help us make the adjustments, give us the strength to make the adjustments that we need to make to live out a life that He has called us to live. And so the challenge is to take inventory of our lives tonight. We look at these truths to know that there are discomforts in this life and we need to prioritize Him over everything. It cannot be, but first, God. But first, God, let me do X. Lord, we thank you in this moment. And I thank you because if you were to leave us as is, God, we would be so messed up, Lord. Lord, but we thank you because you continue to stretch us. You continue to pressure us, oh Lord. You continue to poke us, oh God, because you want us to be better. God, you want us to be the best version of us that we can be. God, you want us to be the men and women you've called us to be. No longer slaves to our fears, oh God. No longer slaves to what holds us back, oh Lord, but to live free and full lives in you and through you, God. Lord, so we thank you, Lord, for telling us beforehand already that there will be discomfort, God. And we ask you that you would give us the strength to confront these discomforts, oh God. That you would give us the strength to ask for help. That you would give us the strength to seek for guidance. That you would give us the help, oh Lord, to look into Scripture, to call unto you, God. God, that's why you tell us, oh God, not so that we can be afraid, God, not so that we can throw in the towel, God, but you tell us beforehand that there will be discomfort because you want us to reach out to you. You want us to seek you out. You want us to find help, oh God. Well, your word reminds us, Lord, that you are an ever-present help in time of need. God, you call us to prioritize you. God, remind us, God, that you prioritized us unto the cross. God, you thought about each and every one of us that is in this place. You thought about us by name, God. And you prioritized us when you died on the cross. God, help us prioritize you today. The altar is open. We want to pray with you. We know it's it's not easy to come up, but we're here to help, and we're here, we want to pray with you, because as we say often,
thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.